Welcome back. We're about to begin Shir 14, Hilchos Pesach. Simin Tov Mem Beis will be doing the first part of Sif Aleph. Now, we're going to be talking about various types of chometz. Now, the Poshet type of chometz, regular chometz, we don't have to define, because that's definitely a piece of challah, a piece of bread. That's what, of course, the Torah obligates. But we're going to be talking about, in this Sif, about taruvos, a mixture of chametz. It's not chametz ben, it's not essence of chametz, you know, a piece of chametz, but rather it's a concoction that's mostly not chametz, but has some chametz mixed into it, and chametz nuksha. And we'll define chametz nuksha later. It's hardened chametz, chametz that were not made really in as much to eat, and we'll get to it in a future shear. However, this shear is mostly on taruvos. So we start with the Gemara. Now we have a machlokes between Reb Eliezer and the Chachomim whether taruvos that there's a chiyuv on Pesach. So Reb Eliezer hold yes, has a drasha for it, and the Rabbanan hold no. That's one machlokes. The second machlokes is about chametz nuksha. Reb Meir holds that we have the ribuy for chametz nuksha, and the Rabbanan say that no, that it's that chametz nuksha you're not chayiv for. Okay. Now, we have on those machlokes tanoim. Now, Reb Meir holds nuksha, Reb Eliezer holds taruvos. Now, Reb Yehuda seems to say that taruvos is more stringent of an iser than nuksha, than the hardened chometz. And therefore, according to Reb Eliezer, that holds that taruvos is chayiv, so nuksha, which is less than that, it would seem to be that he does not hold that you're chayiv. However, Reb Meir, who holds that nuksha is chayiv, and that's the more lenient type, so kol shekhen, of course, in the taruvos, the mixture is definitely chayiv. That is Reb Yehuda, the Amoira's explanation of the machlokes of Reb Meir and Reb Eliezer. And therefore it comes out that Reb Meir is more machmir, more stringent, and will hold that you're chayiv for both, and Reb Eliezer only holds you're only chayiv for the more stringent one, taruvos. Now, Reb Nachman says just the opposite, that nuksha is on a higher darga, on a higher plane, than, or more stricter than taruvos. Therefore, Reb Eliezer holds that you're chayiv for taruvos, of course you're chayiv for nuksha, because it's more stringent. However, the Reb Meir, who holds that you're chayiv for nuksha, that's only for nuksha, because it's more stringent, but taruvos, which is less stringent, then you're not chayiv. Now, we have a Tanya Kivosei de Reb Yehuda. We had a Braisa that supports Reb Yehuda. And what's the Braisa? The Braisa says, there's a Braisa that seems to be saying only counts, not like a Mishnah. A Mishnah counts both Nuksha and Taruvos, right? Now, we have a Braisa that only counts Taruvos. So, who only counts Taruvos? So it makes sense, according to Reb Yehuda, that would be Reb Eliezer, that you only chayiv for taruvos, but not for nuksha, which is less than it. However, according to Reb Nachman, if you hold of taruvos, of course you should hold of nuksha. Therefore, it would seem to support that Reb Eliezer only chayiv taruvos and not nuksha. Now, this would seem, the Beis Yosef says, this seems to be as a question on the Torah, because the Torah brings Reb Eliezer, the Yechayiv for Taruvos, and he says that Reb Eliezer would also forbid Nuksha. So now, but didn't we say, Tanik Vosei, that Reb Eliezer does not Aser Nuksha? So the Beis Yosef wants to explain the tour that the tour explains the Gemara. When we say Tani Kivose de Rebbe Yehuda, right? We have a brisa that supports Rebbe Yehuda. It means, according to Rebbe Yehuda, the Tana fits in Kipshutoi, like it's a simple meaning. However, according to Rav Nachman, you can also touch up the brisa. You can explain the brisa to fit into him. So even though it only brings in the brisa, taruvus, right, and not nuksha, so this would seem to believe to assume that Rebbe Lezer only holds of taruvus and not nuksha, but it's not necessarily, because we are said according to Rav Nachman that taruvus is more lenient than nuksha. And therefore, if you hold the taruvos, so then you should hold a nuksha with the kal v'chomer. Therefore, the brisa explaining Rebbe Lezer only has to bring down taruvos, right? Only has to explain taruvos and doesn't have to bring in nuksha, because nuksha we would know from a kal v'chomer. So therefore, it's possible that the brisa could also support Rav Nachman, and it's not totally like Rebbe Yehuda. Okay. The Taz continues and says, in reality, we don't want to say that Reb Meir and Reb Eliezer argues, even though it seemed the way that Rashi explains it that they do argue, because one of them held only one of these two things, Taruvus or Nuksha, is Osir, and the other one would hold both of them is Osir. However, according to how the Torah is going to learn it, no, it's actually a two-way machlokes between the Rabbanon and Reb Meir and Reb Eliezer. In other words, that he's going to learn that Nuksha and Taruvus are equal. And therefore, Reb Eliezer is saying that you're chayv for Taruvus, and the same thing would apply by Nuksha. And Reb Meir holds Nuksha, and the same would apply for Taruvus, because they're equal. Because we try to avoid to say that it's a three-way machloikis if you don't see that it's a three-way machloikis. We rather have it as a two-way machloikis. And the Mekor Chaim explains it, he wants to explain it like this. He wants to say that the tour held misvara from logic that they must be on equal footing. And therefore, if you hold the one, you hold the other one. Because, he says, really, there's only one riboy. There's one extra word to include it. And Reb Meir says that the kol machmetzes, that the koil is coming to include Nuksha, and Reb Eliezer hold that Kol comes to include Taruvus. So, it cannot be that one of these two things are stricter than the other, because if it would be stricter than the other, so then, really, if you have one Reba, you have one extra person to include, you should really take the lesser chiddush, the more stringent iser, and say that it includes that, and leaves the lesser one. So how can you say that it really includes the lesser one, and then you learn the stronger one with a kal v'chomer? If you're going to pick one, you should pick the larger one. And that's all it's coming to be marbe, all it's coming to include. So we have to say that that really nuksha and taruvis are equal, and therefore, when you marba one, and you don't, and since they're equal, you can't figure out which one to pick over the other because they're equal. So it comes to include both of them. However, if you say that one is stricter than the other, so then whatever you hold is stricter. That's the only thing that is going to be marba. It's going to include, and you can't say it's coming to include the more lenient one and take the other one mekal v'chomer, because all you can really learn is the bigger is the lesser chiddush, and they will leave the bigger chiddush and not being gosser. That is how the Mekor Chaim wants to explain the Taz. Now the Mekor Chaim gives a different explanation for the tour. Now, he says that it is Mukhri brings a raya from Rashi that there's really two types of nuksha. There's nuksha that is somewhat edible, like one of the things is that they put a dough on top of a pot in order to absorb the, you know, some of the froth and some of the bad smells. That type of nuksha is edible. Al yedei hadchak, it's not so edible, but it's somewhat edible. And there are those, like beauty treatments, that are not edible at all. Another important thing is to understand what is taruvos. So this, the Mekor Chaim says, it's really a argument between Rashi and Tosfos and the Torah. As Rashi and Tosfos hold that taruvos, it does give taste, right? That it's mixed in the chametz to the point that it could be tasted. That is the Isser of taruvos, but it can't be tasted, so then it is permitted. That is how Rashi and Tosfos learn it. However, the Torah says explicitly that if it gives taste, then everybody would aser. It can't be a machlokes. This is something that Tam Ki'ikar, right? We know that taste is like Ki'ikar, and therefore it's definitely aser, even like the Rabbanon. There's no way had to have a thought to say that it is permitted. The only thing is, they argue, is if it doesn't give taste, except for that it has some other effect to what you're mixing into. So the Torah calls it kiua. Now, how to exactly explain kiua, that is not so simple to, you know, the actual taich, but it seems to that even though it doesn't give any taste, it adds something to the texture, adds something to the frame of the tafshil of the stew, gives some kind of makes some kind of difference. However, it's not a taste difference. It doesn't taste any differently, but it gives some kind of structurally help to the stew. So therefore, that's the machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos and the Torah. So he says like this, how to list an order of strictness according to that. Now, the most strict would be Rashi and Tosfos taruvos, because according to them, it's giving taste. This seems to be a real taste that it gives to the food, which seems to be stronger than actual chametz nuksha, that's even if it's somewhat edible, but it's not really truly edible, it's not something that's strongly edible, therefore that would go first. The second darga, the second level, would be the chametz nuksha that's edible, and the third level would be the taruvos that doesn't give taste, but it's for likiua, that it gives some kind of structural help to the stew. And the last case is inedible chometz nuksha. So therefore, he wants to say, according to Rashi and Tosfos, we understand why according to Rebbe Elazar, taruvos is only osur, and it cannot be including nuksha, because nuksha is less than it, because we're talking about taruvos with taste, and therefore nuksha, which is only partially edible, that is less than it, and therefore if you only including taruvos, so it excludes all nuksha, whether it's edible or not. However, according to Torah, it's going to be marba taruvos, right? That doesn't have any taste. So in that, if you're chayiv for that, of course you're chayiv for nuksha that's edible. When we say that it's mimayit excludes nuksha, it's going on the inedible ones. So that's how the Mekor Chaim wants to reconcile the Gemaras. Okay. According to Rabbi Lezer, we said that you're chayev for taruvos. It is, so therefore, you cannot leave it over Pesach, and if it's left after Pesach, you would have to destroy it, and you cannot have hanah. It's still aser b'hanah. Now the Beis Yosef asks that we paskin like Rav Shimon that min haTorah all chametz that was left over Pesach is permitted to have pleasure from, to eat. Even it's only midrabbanon that they made a knas that they fined us that since you left over in Bi'aiver and Bal Yirah Bal Yimotza that they asked the chametz that left over Pesach. However, that's only osur when it's chametz be'en, when it's chametz by itself. However, if it is taruvus mixed, so then they weren't goyzer, they didn't decree it, and if it mixes into other foods, you're allowed to eat it. That is how we paskin. So the question is, why, if it was left, we said that this taruvus of chametz after Pesach is also, if we say that taruvus of chametz is mutter after Pesach. So the Beis Yosef gives two terutzim. One terutz is that it's only permitted if it gets mixed out after Pesach. In other words, it was chametz shaver al Pesach, as is. And then once it gets mixed into other foods after Pesach, we say it's you leave it as it and you can eat it. However, in our case, it was mixed in before Pesach. And therefore, since it was mixed in before Pesach or during Pesach, and during Pesach it was in the mixed-in stage, therefore they forbade it an aser after Pesach. That's the first way the Beis Yosef explains. The other one, a chilek that he wants to make, is perhaps they only asered it if it gets mixed in mimelo, by itself. Right, someone knocked it in or whatever, something happened. But if someone actually added the ingredients on purpose, then it is also after Pesach. That is the Beis Yosef. Now, the Taz holds like the first way, and he explains that since a taruva is like that, is also on Pesach. So therefore, what is this? You're leaving over something that's also on Pesach. It was left, since this was the Iser, the whole Taruvus is a dover that's also to be left over Pesach, so he calls that's like Be'en. That's like the Iser is by itself, it didn't get mixed in, because as is, even though it's mixed in, but as is, it's the Iser to be left over Pesach. Therefore, as is, it's the dover also that was left over Pesach, so you have to aser it. It's only things that got mixed in after Pesach, so the Iser that was during Pesach is no longer Be'en, because it's now mixed into other food. So then we say it's no longer around. However, if this is the way that you mean over and Bal Yirah, over of having leaving it over during Pesach, so that's the chometz Be'en, the chometz the way it is. Be'isuroi, as it's being left in, it's being left be'isur, so that is the isur chayfitz that has to be destroyed after Pesach too. That is how the Taz learns it. So the Rambam paskins, like Rabbi Lezer, like the Pashas of the Gemara, that the lav is going only on Taruvos, and Taruvos is also with the lav. However, Nuksha is only also be'isur ba'alma, with an isur. And both of them, you're not allowed to leave in your house. You got to get rid of it before Pesach. However, the Rif and the Rosh paskin like the Rabbonon, and therefore they held that according to the Torah, how the Torah explains it, that you're allowed to leave in your house, you just got to put it away, and you don't have to throw it out. That is the Torah. However, the Beis Yosef disagrees, because he says, I can understand if the reason why you got to destroy the chametz is not to be over Bal Yirah Bal Yimotze, and therefore over here too, right? If according to the Rabbonon, that there is no Bal Yirah Ubal Yimotze on chametz, so therefore you can leave it around and you don't have to destroy it. However, if the reason is you got to get rid of it is because you, according to the sheet as a whole, because so you shouldn't have it around your house on Pesach and you will come to eat it, so that's applicable over here too. Because if it's osir to eat, it should be osir to have it around the house because you eat it year-round, and therefore you'll come to eat it, therefore you got to get rid of it. So perhaps the Torah holds like the first teretz, that first explanation, you only have to do bedika and beer on items that you'll be over bali ro bali motze. However, the Taz says that this cannot be because the Torah himself says the reason you have to do bedika and beer on is so that you won't come to eat it. So therefore, it would seem to be over here that that even though he holds regularly that you need to destroy things that you can't eat, over here, according to the Rabbanon, it would be permitted. Now, why would it be permitted? So he says, according to the Rabbanon, the whole Isser of the Daruvos and Nuksha is only Midrabbanon. It's not Midraisa. It's not like it just doesn't have a lav, but it's still somewhat of an Isser. But rather, it's completely Midrabbanon. And he brings a rai from this, from Tosfos, that says that if you don't learn the Ribui, right? If you don't learn the Ribui, there's no Mekor, there's no source to say that's Osir. So the Rabbanon don't learn it, it's the Ribui to Asir the Taruvos, so therefore there should be no source to Asir. And furthermore, right, he says, why doesn't the Gemara asks, who's the Tana the Mishnah, who Asirs all this, right, who says that these are, says that it's Rebbe Eliezer, it's Remeir. It doesn't say it's the Rabbanon. Now, if the Rabbanon hold that they're osur min haTorah, why doesn't the Gemara say it could be even the Rabbanon? Even though they don't marbe for a lav, it's still an Isser Ba'alma. Now, the Chok Yaakov says it's not really such a question because the Mishnah says that these are Ba'az Horis, these are lavim. So therefore, if it's not a lav, even if it would be a deraisa, he couldn't have said it's the Rabbanon because the Rabbanon don't hold as a lav. Anyhow, so the Taz says, so with all these we'll prove that the Rabbanon hold that these that Taruvos and Nuksha is only Midrabbanon, and that's why according to them you're allowed to leave it around because you don't have to make a gzera that you might come to eat it because after all, even if you do eat it, it's only the Rabbanon, and therefore we follow the rule that we're not gozer gzera l'gzera. That is how the Taz learns. The Mishnah starts, Elu Oivrim. These are the ones that Oivrim counts the Taruvos, counts Chametz Nuksha. So what is Elu Oivrim? So Rashi says, these are what you're Oivr Bali Ro Bali Motze. So according to Rashi, all these things you're being Oivr Bali Ro Bali Motze. Now Tosfos has two other Perushim, is that Elu Oivrim means the Oivrim and Oilim, you gotta destroy it, or Elu Oivrim, Rabbeinu Tam says, that these are that you take away from the table, mashma, implying that you don't have to destroy it. Anyhow, so the Torah seems to be saying that that according to Rebbe Eliezer, it seems to Paskim Rebbe Eliezer, but he says that they're also, it doesn't say that Yoiver and Bali Ro Bali Motze, it just say that it's Oiver. So it would seem from him that he seems to hold like Tosfos to say that Elu Oivrim is to remove from the Shulchan, but there's no Bali Ro Bali Motze. However, the Rambam says that you're being Oiver Bali Ro Bali Motze. So therefore, it seems to be that he learns like Rashi that Elu Oivrim means that these are the ones you Oivr Bali Ro Bali Motze. Okay, now the Beis Yosef wants to taina himself that really, even though the Rambam Paskim Rebbe Eliezer, he really limitedly holds like Rebbe Eliezer, but he doesn't hold like Rebbe Eliezer completely. And the reason for that is because there, why would we pass like Reb Lezer against the Chachamim? Because, like we explained, that the Stam Mishnah is like him. However, that is talking about Bal Yiro Bal Yimotze. So therefore, we paskin like Rabbi Lezer that Teruvus Yoiverim Bal Yiro U Bal Yimotze. However, whether that there's a lav to eating it, right? If you would eat it, would you be chayiv a lav on that? That he paskins like the Rabbonin and says you're not chayiv, because since our Mishnah is talking about only Bal Yiro Bal Yimotze, the Isser of eating it is really a machloikis in the Braisa in the Gemara, when the Mishnah doesn't talk about it, and therefore, since the machloikis between the Yoch and the Rabbim, the Rabbonim, who are multiple Rabbonim, and Rebbe Lezer, that's a single Rabbonim, we paskin like the multiple Rabbonim, and therefore you're not being oiver. And he says, what is the difference? Why, how can you make such a split between Bal Yiro, Bal Yimotze, and eating? Because the answer is, when you're eating it, right? So you're not eating it all at once. So therefore, it's you're only eating in the mixture, and therefore, since you're eating it in the mixture, you're not eating the gzayis all at once. However, by Bal Yiro Bal Yimotze, you don't have to eat; it just has to be, and therefore, you have the taruvos, you have the mixture in the bowl, and any place where the chametz is, that it's there, and therefore it combines, and therefore be over Bal Yiro Bal Yimotze. So the Beis Yosef, based on the Gemara, says, what is the machloikis tolian? What's the machloikis, not tolian, but what's the machloikis about? What are they arguing about? So he says, if it's a regular case of a taruvis of chametz, where you have a gzayis b'chdei achilas pras, right? A gzayis of chametz that's mixed in into a achilas pras, that if you finish eating a whole pras of the mixture, you'll be eating a gzayis. How much is a pras? There's a question if it's 3 or 4 eggs worth, but anyhow, whichever, whatever that is, if you have a gzayis, you got a mixture with the ratio of gzayis in pras, then it is definitely over according to everybody. If it's less than that, you're not over according to everybody. But what are we talking about? Something, one of the examples of the taruvis is kusa chabavli, right? What is kusa chabavli? That is a dip. Now, it does have a gzayis gdei achilas pras, but the exception is that it can't be eaten straight. You can't just take a spoon and start eating it. It's just way too strong. You only eat it as a dip with other items like bread. You eat your bread with it. And therefore, you definitely not, if you would eat it regularly, you would not have a gzayis v'chdei achilas pras in your eating, because it is only used a little bit at a time. Therefore, Rebbe Lezer says, if you would eat it straight, you'd still be chayiv, because you're eating gzayis b'dei achilas pras, while the Rabbanan hold no, that it's not the regular way of eating it, therefore it's not considered as a gzayis b'dei achilas pras regarding to be over on taruvos.